Yeah. Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T. Yeah. Crew.
Whoa.
S-R-S-R-S-R-S-R-T. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's the Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT Studios, overlooking Atlantic Station. And we are up in the penthouse once again, each and every week, 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And great show for you tonight. Of course, I got my main man, Hancock, the sports superhero in the building.
What up, big homie?
Ain't nothing shaking. Of course, I'm the humble host, H.O. from Bankhead. And of course, got my guy, man behind the glass, G-Money.
Yo,
you already know. Thanks for all those people on Facebook live checking us out. Please, if you want to go to, you want to go to Facebook Live to check us out in studio, SRT Sports Talk Radio. Please go to that link and you can check us out on live. And D Will will be calling in, of course. My main man, D. Will, the coach, be calling in and giving his analysis. Say he got a lot to say today. And the Winter Olympics is here. I haven't seen any of it.
Nah.
And G-Money, looks like you haven't seen any of it either.
Nah. I mean, I follow Sean White on Instagram. I saw that he won. That's about it.
31 years old. He got 6 gold medals, right?
Yep.
At least I knew that.
I know he got in trouble afterwards. How about that?
Yeah, shout out to all. Well, happy V Day, Love Day, whatever.
Dez already said you violate.
Yeah, Dez, I'm coming with it, man.
Dez, he violate. Dez says a violation to wish another man happy Valentine's Day.
Well, no, I'm not doing that. I'm wishing all of the people who participate in it.
Okay.
For all those who participate.
All right, cool.
I mean, we have to do that, you know. So, shout out to my main man, Mike. Big Mike D. Got to come on the show one day, man. He, Team Forrest legend over there coaching them kids, man. We got a hot show for you. Tonight, we got some hot news. And the hot news is hot, man. We, you know, it's some things going on. And of course, we got a roundtable discussion. We're going to talk NBA. I'm pretty sure you got something to say.
Oh, you always got something
to say. Got something to say.
Oh, no
doubt. And you ain't talking about FanDuel.
Nah.
Got something to say about that. And of course, second hour of the show, we got our friend. He's no longer a guest. I mean,
he's a resident.
Resident, yeah. Resident. College basketball expert Deshaun Tate will be in studio second hour of the show, so make sure you tune in for that. We're going to talk some college basketball, and is the one and done hurting college basketball?
Yes, Mr. Tate can shine a little light on that.
Yeah, you're going to have to. And I don't know if I want to ask him about the Michigan State, because I, you know,
This ain't no holes barred here.
Okay, well,
we got to ask him.
Got to ask him. G, we got to ask
him. Yeah, we got to ask him.
I mean, if you was the parent, you saw the father basically tried to attack.
Yeah.
It looked like he was, it looked like WWF all over again.
Yeah, they should have slipped and let him get there. They should just slip a little bit. Oh, Judge, I couldn't stop.
I cramped up. I cramped up, Your Honor. I'm sorry. I couldn't move.
Shout out to Maceo Hurd.
What up, Maceo?
Maceo doing his thing, Crush Sports Talk. And for all those who are into hockey and NASCAR, tune in to DNA Sports on Monday.
Yeah, I'm about to say, this is not the show for you.
Tune in to DNA Sports on Monday, 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Also golf. Tennis, horse racing.
Horse racing.
Every other sport you could think of.
Yeah, they all over the place with the sport. So great show. So make sure y'all tune in to DNA Sports on Monday from 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. With that being said, before we get on, if you want to give us a call, 404-603-8770, please follow us on social media at SRT Radio. And please go to the website at srtradio.com. And I got my main man, D-Will, can I get a hello?
What up?
That's my man.
What up, Weezy?
Weezy in the building. Yes, sir. All right, Weezy, hold tight, baby. G might finna put it in, baby. Now it's time for some hot news.
Blazing. Hot, hot, hot. Scorching.
On fire.
Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Hot news sponsored by good old friends over at the Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town, please go over to our friends at the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. The best shrimp in town. Po' boy is great. Shrimp, chicken, sausage, pasta, all of that is great. Crab claws is off the hook. Any meal over $25 or more, as for the SRT discount, you get 10% off of that. Our first story of the night, Hancock. Back in the news. LaVar Ball.
Yeah.
He made some statements the other day referencing my son, Lonzo Ball, plays for the Lakers, not currently playing now. The one who's asking for $200 for an autograph during All-Star weekend. But anyway.
Lonzo asking for
$200? Wow. For an autograph. But anyway, he said that his son is not going to sign back with the Lakers unless they take all of the balls. And he's letting all the other teams know
that they'll be available, that he's not just going to re-sign back with
same
the
Lakers. Same deal.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I think LeVar got Park Ball mixed up with the NBA. You know how when you're a parent, you take your kid to sign up and you say, well, I want them all on the same team.
Yeah.
I think he got mixed up some kind of way. You know, the NBA will get in the Park Ball. I mean, this is not Decatur. Or Gwinnett, you can't just do that.
Can't do that.
Yeah. I mean, look, man, I know we've had some differences on whether, you know, him pulling his son out and putting him in Lithuania and not playing high school ball or whatever is good or bad. I kind of tend to go toward the side. I think it's a bad thing. You know, that's just me. I think he pretty much ruined LiAngelo's whole career. But I don't think he's going to get a shot at the NBA. I really don't. I think his only avenue, I think, was to play college basketball. And just kind of, you know, maybe look good enough to get a shot in the pros. But
you don't even think the G League will take him?
I think what's happening is, even if he's a marginal player, he's not worth the headache of his daddy. I think that's what's happening with Lonzo, because now you're getting reports that the Lakers might be souring on him a little bit and saying, well, you know, you're not talking about, if this was Magic Johnson, you know, when Magic came out of college and he was a once in a lifetime like player. And you're looking at Lonzo, they're winning better without him.
So the question is he really hurt?
I mean, I don't know if he's really hurt. I don't know, but I know that the team has played better.
Right.
So that doesn't bode well for him. They move your guy, Brandon Ingram, to the point, and he's shooting like 60% from three.
Yeah.
You know, averaging about 5 assists and like 25 or 26 points a game.
Yeah.
At the point guard position. So did they stumble into something by moving Brandon there? And they're winning? And it could be argued that Lonzo even isn't even the best rookie on the team.
Oh, well, he's not.
You know,
I mean, ain't no argument. So
I think what's happening is his, you know, and I was a big supporter of LeVar. You know, saying that, look, man, I'm happy that he got his kid in there. You had to put up with some of the stuff. But
right.
It's starting to weigh in and starting to be kind of bad when you say these type of things. I mean, and Lonzo, he doesn't even know the rules. I mean, he's talking about what Lonzo can do. Lonzo can't even leave through from 20 to, I think, 2022.
Right.
And if the Lakers, you know, it's up to them to offer him that contract or whatever. Right. I don't know what happened there. We good?
Yeah, I think we're good. Okay. Sorry.
So, you know, for him to come out and say these type of things and tell NBA execs, they see all this. I mean, who wants to put up with it? I can understand if he was going to be a legendary player or once-in-a-lifetime player, but it doesn't seem that he's on that path. So I'm not sure that that's going to work.
Yeah, that's crazy. Question number two. We're going to kick this to our main guy, T-shirt man. Running up and down the road. D-Will, story number two, Frank Wright went to Maryland. He was the quarterback in the comeback of one of the biggest comebacks with the Houston Oilers and Buffalo Bills. Now he is the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, former offensive coordinator for the Eagles. Thoughts on that, D-Will, and now does Nick Foles have a place to go? With it being Andrew Luck not sure, or they don't know if Andrew Luck is actually going to start the season.
Well, congratulations, first off, for being privileged. Because somebody of his stature who can go from being fired at several spots, including the Philadelphia Eagles, he was fired back as their quarterback's coach. Then he got a job in Arizona as a quarterback's coach. He was fired there. Then he got an offensive coordinator job. He was fired from that. Then he went on to the Philadelphia Eagles, and now he struck gold by winning the Super Bowl this past season. So, congratulations on him being privileged, first and foremost. second of all, it would be a great landing spot for Nick Foles because Coach Rick himself is a career backup, as you just mentioned. He is the longest tenured backup with a starter when he was with the Buffalo Bills with Jim Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
He was a nine-year backup. You did say he had a 32-point comeback in his career, which is not saying much. But for someone who has not had an illustrious career and has been fired, not resigned or promoted, but fired at every spot that he has, to get a head coaching job off of a whim of winning the Super Bowl this year is a very privileged move. Now, is it a great move for Nick Foles? Yes, because him and Nick Foles have a lot in common. Mm-hmm. They're both career backups, so he can coach a backup. Okay? So it would be a great landing spot for Nick Foles with the uncertainty of an Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck concerns me, y'all. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm really concerned about him. He not only missed this entire season, but now his report's coming out that he can miss the beginning of next season, and that doesn't bode well for his career going forward. He has missed a lot of games in his career. So if I am the new coach, Rick, and I guess Wright, Rick, whatever his name is, I think I'm saying it right. But Wright, Coach Wright, I'm thinking Mark Rick, but Coach Wright, If he is to go out and look for a quarterback, he did just have a lot of success with Nick Foles, and Nick Foles is about to get paid wherever he wants to go if he doesn't want to stay in with Philadelphia. So that would be a good landing spot for him. But do I think he's going to be successful? Because right now, even with Andrew Luck, that's an 8-8 team in Indianapolis. It's a dumpster fire waiting to happen. They have a cokehead for an owner, so that's not saying much either. So we really don't know where we want to go with this. So I don't know how much success he's going to be able to have with this being his first head coaching position. But Nick Foles, go get your money. That's all I can really say about it.
Wow. D-Will just went ballistic. All right, did you add something?
You forgot to add, D-Will, that with the Eagles, Frank Reich did not call plays. The head coach, Peterson, called the plays.
Right.
So that even makes him more privileged.
Thank you. Makes no sense.
All right. Story number three. Speaking of calling plays, G-Money, Mike Shula has been hired as the OC for your New York Giants. Not yours.
I was going to say.
How do you see this working out with him and Eli Manning coming from a Carolina Panther offense that basically relied heavily on Cam Newton and knowing that Eli is not the same type quarterback?
Well, I saw it a couple of different ways, but I think with bringing him in, I'm not even sure Eli Manning is going to be on the roster.
Oof.
They could trade him, cut him, whatever. I don't see him being there next season.
Really?
Especially after the way things went down this past season, where they benched him. He was a healthy scratch, and then they brought him back after they fired the coach. They have to move. I don't think you can, come back to that. And who knows how long Eli actually has left.
Right.
If they do keep Eli, they're going to draft his successor this year. They have to. As far as Mike Shula goes, the idea was to kind of jumpstart their running game, which they really haven't had for at least 5 years.
Yep.
Carolina was fourth in the league in rushing this past year, but 28th in passing. Mm. So I don't know how much Eli Manning is going, is he going to rely that much on Eli just for his experience? I mean, we've seen Eli not know that he had how much time is on the clock or how many timeouts he has in certain situations. So how are you going to depend on him to get your passing game going?
But what about you said fourth in rushing and we had Cam Newton throwing the ball, which I'm not knocking Cam, but he's not a prolific passer. And you don't think with a run game that Eli could be, so I know you're just saying he's gone. You don't think he'll be back.
I don't think he'll be back.
Hmm. Okay.
Do you think a run game could help change their mind?
A run game can help any aging quarterback. Ask John Elway.
Right. I agree.
But but the way that things went down with Eli, that's really the reason why I don't think he's going to be there. If he's still there, they're going to draft his successor. But I think with Eli, I mean, it's going to help. But who knows how much power Mike Shula will actually have, because Shermer is going to be calling the plays. So who knows how much influence Mike Shula is actually going to have on the offense. The run game might get better. They do have four running backs to where they do one thing great, I guess, and then everything else is terrible. So they have the Frankenstein of running game together. But I don't know if I don't know how it remains to be seen how much of an impact he's actually going to have, because he's not calling the plays, and who knows who his quarterback is going to be. It might open up some things for him because he has a quarterback who has been a prolific passer at some point compared to Cam Newton. But it depends on who's going to be on the roster, basically.
What if Shermer brings in a Case Keenum?
Keenum better than Manning?
If you're going to bring in Case Keenum, you might as well keep Eli Manning and just draft his successor. Either way, you have to draft his successor this year. If Eli's still there, okay, great. You have a veteran for your successor to learn behind.
Yeah. But that's what I think. I'm leaning more toward that one.
To draft the successor.
Yeah. I think you have to find that run. We saw what happened when Zeke came to the Cowboys.
Right.
A good run game can overshadow a lot of your deficiencies. Look at Dak without it.
Right.
So, I mean, look at what's coming back on that offense, man. I'd try to find a legit running back, like you said. Right now they have running back by committee.
Right.
You get a decent running game behind that with the weapons they have on the outside, Ingram at the tight end position. That's a nice little offense.
Yeah, they have the receivers.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they kept Manning, but I think the way they treated him, how can you go back?
Yeah, can you go back to him?
They paying him an awful lot though.
Yeah. Yeah,
they paying him an awful lot of money.
Well, maybe it's enough money to where he lets bygones be bygones.
That bruised ego.
Bruised ego. All right, question. The last question of the night, the last story of the night. D-Will, we'll start off with you. Do you have a problem with the way Kerr allowed the players to control and coach in the huddle?
Please?
You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. Did you hear the question?
I missed that part. You cut out. I'm sorry. All right,
my bad. All right, so the last story is, do you have a problem with Steve Kerr allowing the players to take control of the huddle during timeouts?
No, I don't have a problem with it because he ain't coaching since he's been there. So it ain't like it's a big deal anyway. But I understand where he's coming from. With them going to the last, you know, what, four finals, trying to make it four finals in a row, being in the last three, winning two, you can get complacent. And I understand what his statement that he made was, you know, they kind of got tired of hearing my voice. So when you hear the same voice over and over again, you do kind of start to tune it out. So for him to try to shake it up and try something different, something that, and it's not like this is something that's unprecedented in the NBA. We see players take over huddles during timeouts all the time. Tyronn Lue, I still don't think he's coached during the timeout. You know, so this happens quite often in the NBA. We do see that. But not of this magnitude, and it did help that he did it in a 40-point blowout against one of the worst teams in the NBA. So it's not like he did it against a Greg Popovich in a tight game where it was down to the last possession. He handed the clipboard to Andre Iguodala or Draymond Green and was like, "Hey, drop this last play for us." So it kind of gave them confidence in my opinion to, "Hey, let's listen to each other." So when we're on the court and something is said, we trust each other even more. But you know, like I said earlier, Steve Kerr hadn't coached this team since he's been there. You just roll the ball out there and they go play. So it's not much coaching going on anyway. So I'm not offended by it. I don't think it's disrespectful. The Phoenix Suns players that came out and said they felt disrespected. I think it was what's the kid's name? Troy something, who played for Houston a couple years ago. Hit a couple of threes.
Yeah, Troy Daniels.
He's a nobody. Yeah, he's a nobody anyway. Boy, why are you talking? So you should be happy to be in the league. So you shouldn't feel disrespected. Why are you worried about what's going on in the other team's huddle? You need to be worried about getting blown out.
All right, Han, your thoughts on it.
You didn't like it, you should have beat them. I mean, it's all this too. It just added what it does to Golden State is put a bigger target on their back.
Right.
You know, make people dislike them more. You know, they already looked upon as the chosen team anyway. So, you know, I understand from, like I said, I do agree with D. Will's point. I do think the message was getting stale. I've watched them play the last, I guess, few times they've been on television, and you can see it. I mean, there's, I won't say a lack of effort, but it's not that hunger. You remember a couple years when they were playing for something, they would go on runs and just kill people. And now they just turn it up when they need it, you know, and it's not that hunger for the regular season. So, I mean, if it was to do anything, it was to, you know, give them a little, I guess, a little juice.
A little juice.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. They just had another injury that might hurt them with McCall. He's out for a period. So, I mean, they needed something. I still think they're a player away, to be honest with you, to make a run for this thing, to be honest. But we'll see.
G, your thoughts on that real quick.
I didn't mind it. Like both of you guys said, Kerr saying that he was tired. He thinks the players were tired of hearing his voice. You got to change it up a little bit. And this is a team looking to go to the finals for the fourth year in a row. If you're playing into May and June year after year, you kind of have to find different ways to keep yourself motivated, right, to keep yourself alert. Because, you know, this is February, and this is kind of like the dog days. You know, this is right for the All-Star break. They're ready to go on vacation. Some players, if you didn't make the All-Star team, you're going on vacation for a week, or you're getting ready to go to LA. So their minds may be elsewhere as well. So this is a way, and, you know, do it against a terrible team. Get your team, you know, have the guys take over. The Spurs did this. They do this a lot.
Right.
It's just because it's the Warriors. You know, there's going to be some national attention on it, but this isn't new, and it's probably gonna work out for them.
Gotcha. All right, man, we're gonna take a quick break. D Will, We appreciate it, man. Hey, give us a holler back. Round of the first part of the second hour. I'm pretty sure you and Deshaun Tate got plenty to talk about. And with that being said, we're going to go to commercial break real quick. When we come back, we got our roundtable discussion coming up where we talking NBA, the trades, All-Star Weekend. And why are you being so petty about Ray Allen not going to the ceremony? Come on, man. Let's keep it real. You listen to Sports Roundtable at SRTRadio.com, only on The Real 1100 AM.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on The Real 1100 AM.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap.
Sports Roundtable.
Did y'all see the phone call that Jeff Fisher made to Nick Foles when he had to cut him?
No, I missed.
The phone call was, we have to release you, we have to let you go, and I hope you land on your feet. So, if you're Nick Foles, how do you respond now? Z, how you go trolling?
My first thought would be to, like, I would be tempted to, like, get my Super Bowl ring fitted for my middle finger.
Go ahead, G.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM. The Roundtable Discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
SRT Sports Talk Radio. We're back. About to jump into this Roundtable Discussion sponsored by Real Talk Tees. If you're looking for a t-shirt, hoodie, think you're even making hats now, please go to realtalktees.bigcartel.com and order you one. They got a shirt and a hat for every mood. Roundtable discussion. Hancock, the All-Star Weekend is coming up. Sunny California. LA is going to be, what are you looking forward to this weekend? Just anything.
I think I like the three-point contest and probably the last half of the game, I guess. I'm looking to see if this game is going to do the things that they're saying, like be more competitive. So we'll see from there. That's, you know, and I think it's overblown because if you go back and watch classic NBA TV and watch the, you know, past All-Star games, you can see the same thing. Rim runs, people not playing defense or whatever. And they, at the last part of the game, they might turn up and play a little bit. I think what blew it out and made it look like they played a lot of defense under the Kobe and Jordan era was when, you know, Kobe tried to play defense on Jordan in that game and, you know, just saying, well, no, you're not going to score on me or whatever. So I think it's kind of blown out of proportion. We really don't see, like, there's no lockdown defense in those games.
Nope.
There's people trying to stay healthy. So, and that goes even back to the Isaiah Thomas and all of them. They can talk all this like they were just so competitive, but look at the scores of those games.
I agree.
So I think it's, you know, revisionist history. But like I said, the two things I'm looking forward to, three-point contest and the game. Because the dunk contest, I mean, what else can they do with a dunk? We've seen it. I mean, after the first three or four. I mean, what can you do, Hart? Yeah. I mean, jump spin off around, trampoline. Jump off something. I don't know. It's
drink some coffee in the air. I don't know.
So I'm really not. You know, the skills competition was good the last couple of years with the big guys.
Yeah.
So that might be something to watch. But other than that, man, I mean, it is what it is.
Gee, isn't this the first year that they actually had the trade deadline before the All-Star game?
Yes.
So it would have been something to look forward to as far as recruiting, if they...
Yeah, I can see that.
You see what I'm saying? It would probably be something to look forward to then. But now, I'm more looking forward to the stories that come out of this All-Star weekend based on who's trying to recruit who for next year's team.
Yeah.
Because you're hearing this, LeBron to Houston, the odds, LeBron could possibly go to L.A. So who's going to make that pitch?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? These are the times and these are the environments where these pitches are being pitched.
Right. And you know Durant's up, right? He's up. And he's on a 1-year deal, right? Was it two? He got an option on this year or something?
I'm not sure. I might have to get G to look that one up for us. But
he signed a 3-year deal.
He did sign a 3-year deal.
Up after next
after
season.
Next year. Okay, so they have him 1 more year.
And then, you know, does Klay Thompson look to go home with his father?
Yeah.
I mean, all these, it's so many different things. You know, it's basically in his home, it's in his neighborhood. You know, if the wear and tear of the Golden State, if it's wearing and tearing, and if you're going to, you know, kind of mix it up or switch it up,
mm-hmm.
I mean, why not go to L.A. if you Klay Thompson? I mean, who could make that pitch, you think?
Well, Magic could make the Magic. Pitch. Yeah, Magic could talk to his dad. But I had heard an interview with Michael Thompson saying that Klay is kind of content being where he is, winning titles. He likes the area.
Right.
They're going to be moving into a new arena. So, you know, they're going to San Francisco to play next year.
Okay.
So, you know, it's two schools of thought. We're talking about a kid that's, you know, he never had to worry about anything growing up anyway. Dad had money, came from that, you know, the same type with Steph. So,
exactly.
He's got a $70 million deal with some shoe deal over in, China.
Is he up next year, his contract?
Klay will be up after next season.
Okay.
Yeah, he and Draymond, right?
Right.
Yeah, so they'll have to make some decisions because you're going to look at, like I said, Kevin going to look for his $200.
Yeah.
So, I mean, somebody might have to. I mean, you might even have to get up off Draymond.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
I agree. I mean, it's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Because
how long can Draymond play that way at 6'5"? It's got to take a toll on his body. You know, as physical as he plays, we always talk about a running back and how he gets beat down.
Yeah,
you know, how he gets beat down out the floor. But look at the way he plays. So
they
much
have
force.
To restructure the roster around him so he can – because he's more of a point forward. And so he doesn't have to bang down low so much. They really need somebody.
They need
else
some
to
beats.
Do that
exactly.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where Jordan Bell would come in. And then they probably need some other people too.
Right.
Let's jump to this Paul Pierce retirement jersey. Has jersey retired. Luckily, they didn't do a video tribute for IT because he wasn't even on the team. I mean, how foolish would that have looked?
Yeah.
But anyway, everybody's making a big deal out of this. Ray Allen not attending. Well, so.
But was it kind of petty to you?
Yeah. But, I mean, Big Baby didn't go either.
But Big Baby wasn't part of the Big Three, though.
He made it.
He was on the team, though.
Yeah. He had a couple of good games.
But he wasn't the Big Three.
Yeah. But the Big Three seem as if they don't really, you know.
I understand. I mean, I'm not saying it. I'm just saying, but it looks Ray Allen was like one of the cornerstone pieces when we talk about the title. Big Baby might have helped him, but Ray was like a piece. You know, he, Kevin, and
Paul.
And Paul were the pieces.
This is why I think that he wasn't there, because the Celtics aren't going to retire his number. they're like Rondo was there, they're going to retire number 9. KG was there, they're going to retire number 5. They're not retiring number 20 for Ray Allen.
Right.
There probably won't be any team that retires Ray Allen's number, despite what he's done.
So why wouldn't they retire his number?
Because he left and went to Miami.
But he...
So they're being petty.
So you don't think... They're,
so he's being petty, right? If you think that he's being petty right back at them.
Wow. I think if Rondo gets retired, they got to retire Ray, man.
But I think Rondo
was there for like 7 years.
Yeah, but he didn't win a title until 20. And
KG was there for 5.
But they didn't win a title until all of them got together.
But he left and won another title with another team. That's how petty the Celtics could be.
Well, let me ask you.
I hate
you.
I understand what you're saying. I'm not knocking what you're saying, but I don't agree with the organization. I mean... Ray Allen was
yeah, it's bad, but I.
Danny Ainge bite people, so I mean,
if I think all three of those guys got to go up, if one of them go up, because I mean, look, KG, I mean, he was not a lifetime Celtic,
but he brought them their first championship in over 20 years,
and with the help of who?
Yeah, I know Ray Allen was there.
Well, let me just say this then: Ray Allen did send out a very classic tweet to Paul Pierce. And from all reports, Paul Pierce ain't got no problem with it. They cool. You know, it ain't no beef and all this other kind of stuff. So I think, you know, it's not all of that. Yeah. I mean, it's not all of what people making it out to be.
Honestly, to me, G, speaking of going up in the rafters, the only one to me that needs to go up to me is Paul Pierce. I don't think KG and Ray I don't see them.
They weren't there long enough.
I don't think they're true. They were like guns for hire.
The thing is though, with KG, he would have stayed. He's a loyal person. Like KG's never been, he was never like a real free agent. He was traded to Boston. Then he was traded to Brooklyn. Then traded back to Minnesota. So he's never really been a real free agent. If Minnesota never traded Kevin Garnett, he would have played for Minnesota his entire career.
Yeah. Well, they can name a section after him, you know, KG section. But to retire a number?
But for him, he was traded away. Ray Allen left on his own accord. So being traded away looks better.
Different.
It's different. It's the same, but different.
I feel you.
All right, let's get to some local news real quick, and then we'll go jump back. Atlanta United started their soccer preseason in Nashville with a 3-1 victory over whatever team is in Nashville.
I don't know if they had one.
No, they knew.
Okay, they're new.
Yeah,
okay, they're
this
new
is
team.
A new
okay.
team. Yeah. Question real quick. Do you have a problem with Arthur Blank saying what he said about Matt Ryan pretty much need to take a friendlier deal? Is he... Well, that's the question.
Well, he trying to get that Patriot way. That's what it is. I mean, look at
it. Do we need to say it in public, though?
If you want to put pressure on Matt.
I mean, isn't that something you just like, look, I just pull Matt to the side, and we talk about that between us.
Probably, but if he kind of sheds and puts some of the pressure on Matt publicly,
you be offended?
If I was Matt Ryan?
Yeah.
They gave him $100 million. He can't be offended. he got a $100 million contract before he did anything. He hadn't done anything with the Falcons, and he gave him $100 million.
I agree.
So offend me if you want to pay me $100 million.
All right, one more before we go get back to this basketball. Tony Gonzalez will go into the Hall of Fame. He's eligible next year. Does he go in as a Chief? Or does he go in as a Falcon?
He should go in as a Chief.
Does that matter? I thought that was only a baseball thing.
No.
You got to choose.
You pick your team. He should be a Chief.
He's got to be a Chief then. Yeah.
Got to be a Chief.
Yeah. What did he do in Atlanta that was so special? They didn't win a title?
They made an NFC Championship game.
Yep.
That was it.
Hall of Fame inductees came out last week. We didn't talk about it. I was really waiting on D. Will to talk about Terrell Owens, but Terrell Owens is in. Are we satisfied? Has it lost its luster?
It didn't lose its luster, but Randy kind of turned the screws when he said what he said. Randy Moss saying he was so grateful to be a first ballot. So he kind of turned the screws on T.O. a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and T.O. should have been first ballot.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, so, you know, but Randy, you know, he had his little say, but T.O. kind of put him out there when he said, you know, well, I'd never been in trouble. Randy got in some trouble. So they kind of went back and forth at each other a little bit. So that was his way of getting back.
Yeah.
But I'm glad T.O. said what he said about Uncle Ruckus.
Yeah. It needed to be said.
Yeah, so, you know, catch fire, kick rocks.
Catch fire, kick rocks. All right, Facebook Live said he already said that he was going to be a chief when he go in.
Yeah, he should be.
Tony Gonzalez. So let's get back to and also the catches and the pitches for the Braves, the spring training about to start up. There will be a full squad this weekend. So baseball season is starting up. And will be interesting. I'm not sure if we have gotten better. I think Julio Teheran probably needed this pitch on the road. That's just my thing. Anyway, the Cavaliers. Trade deadline. Dwayne Wade goes back home to Miami. And LeBron pulls off, or should I just say Kobe, the GM? Or should I say LeBron?
Kobe Bryant, Kobe Alvin, Kobe whoever. They had to do what they had to do.
They had to do what they had to do. And they got rid of IT and got rid of Jay Crowder.
Yep.
Shumpert. They get back Rodney Hood, Clarkston, George Hill.
Right.
And is it
Larry Nance Jr.
Yes. And he comes home to where his father played.
Right.
First two games they played together, they beat the Celtics, and they beat OKC, and OKC had put 148 on them 2 weeks before. The question is, do we need to pump the brakes on the Cavs team now, or are the Cavs the team to beat in the East?
I think they did go back up. I still think we need to wait to see because, you know, you got this newness and everything going on, but I am really, you know, I guess I'm kind of surprised at the way it took off, to be honest with you. You know, I watched them play against the Celtics, and just to see the defensive intensity of the young guys getting out in lanes and getting their hands on balls, I think that was a lot, you know, that they hadn't had. Also, JR is making shots right now, which spreads the court, and he's knocking down shots. I think he's at like a 60% clip from three right now, some crazy number, like 24, 25 out of 34, something like that. So he's killing from out there. So just to see LeBron be engaged the way he is now, it's a lot. Seti Osman has picked up his game. He's playing well. To see the guys come off the bench and allow LeBron to rest and them not get blown away. And that's what I was wondering. I was watching when I was watching the Celtics and watching Oklahoma City last night. When LeBron took his break, what was going to happen? But they were able to continue to score and they played good defense. So I was surprised at it. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't think, you know, adding those guys would do much. But like I said, it's still early.
Right.
I think watching Oklahoma City, to me, you see if Russell doesn't have a problem with the team that he plays against, he doesn't play with the same intensity or fire.
Right.
And it was like he was almost looking like he was just not himself last night. And when he plays somebody that he's angry against, he has a chip on his shoulder against, he's a different player. But LeBron kind of disarms him because he big ups him. And I think I saw, I saw Russell get knocked down under the basket. LeBron ran and picked him up, the opposite team. Mm. So he kind of diffuses any ill will that Westbrook has against him. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you think about anybody else that Russell plays against. He don't shake hands. He talk crazy. He play Golden State. He see red.
Right.
You know, you see Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, he goes crazy. You see John Wall, anybody like that, he's going crazy. But LeBron disarms him, and you can tell. It's a whole attitude difference.
The four guys off the bench combined for 48 points. And all of them had a plus minus in the double figures. They had a on the plus side. Yep. And the starters all had minuses.
In the first game.
Right.
Second game, they were better.
Yeah, they were better.
Yeah, but first game, you're right.
Yeah, so together, you get shooting from Rodney Hood. Obviously, J.R. Smith starting to make shots because he's open now. George Hill is actually third in the league in three-point shooting. And he brings some defense with you. And Clarkson coming off the bench, doing what he does.
Remember we talked about that?
Doing what he does.
He's like Lou Williams light.
Yeah, doing what he does. Yeah. And Larry Nance really gives them something inside. I mean, he's a jumper. Probably still can't jump higher than his dad, but he's a jumper.
Ain't much different.
But the question would be now, what happens when Kevin Love's come back?
They get slower, they get more scoring, but the defense kind of lags because you don't have. What I noticed and what I was talking about, help and recover. You could see them be able to play in the lanes or play their guy switch. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of switching, a lot of getting out on three-point shooters and contesting shots, which they weren't doing. And now, you know, think about it. You don't have a 5'8" guy having to get out to try to defend the three. You got a legit 6'5" point guard or better guys mm-hmm. going out to defend and contest three-point shots. And that's big. I mean, the defense is really the biggest thing I've noticed. Just the activity, the getting out and running. Like, I think, who was that? Somebody made a comment that LeBron had to wait on breaks. Now he got young guys that he get it out the boy. He got to catch up with them. They're running.
Right.
So I think that infused some talent has helped. It really has. I'm surprised. I am. Still pumping the brakes.
Still pumping the brakes.
But it looks good right now.
I got you.
I think now for them, they don't have to get desperate and put Kevin Love at center anymore because that was just disaster every single time. I think it'll be interesting to see him and Nance playing together as far as offensively because with Love can spread the floor, but now you have Nance who can – he doesn't just – like Tristan Thompson, like grabs offensive rebounds. But you've seen Nance will like tap the ball back out, or he'll actually look for the open man, or it seems like he's more active.
He looks like Tristan did the first
than Tristan Thompson,
but that's the way Tristan played in the first series against the second year against Golden State. Remember, he was active like that.
Yeah.
So Nance is playing like that now. I agree with you that Tristan is not.
Mm-hmm. Tristan, it looked like he slowed down a bit.
I think defensively, you're going to see Nance get those minutes, like the small ball five or whatever. He'll get those minutes instead of Tristan Thompson, making him even more useless than he already is. So, but I think like when Love gets back in there, he can, even though he's not a great defender, we all know that, but at least he won't have to deal with struggling against like the bigger players. So when he comes back, I think it's gonna work out better for them. They'll have another shooter on the floor. So I don't think it'll be too much of a drop off.
Quick question. You know there was a DeAndre Jordan deal that they had in the works. They couldn't quite get it done because nobody wanted to take Shumpert. So let's just say if you're looking at those deals, would they have been better with a big slow that can't shoot free throws, that has no offensive game? Or did they actually stumble into the better situation with the young guys that do what they do in the NBA right now, which is spread the court, shoot, and run?
B.
I think so, too. I think DeAndre was a better move.
Because you got Rodney Hood is the only person who actually played in a playoff game. And it didn't last long.
Right.
These other guys are trying to get there, so the hunger is better.
Hunger's there.
You see what I'm saying? The reason why T and Jay Crowder didn't work, in my opinion, is they felt like, well, I won East last year, so I should be here. So they looked at LeBron or the team as if like, y'all should get on my back. These young guys like, I'm with you, LeBron. Whatever you need us to do.
Mm-hmm. But I'm asking for the style of play there. About the style of play? Because if you had DeAndre Jordan, you wouldn't be playing.
No, exactly. So I think it's better because it feeds into what OKC has been doing to Golden State. It's being athletic and active. Mm-hmm. And being active on the shooting.
Perimeter.
You see what I'm saying?
I agree. The
and
length
that's the thing.
And being able to contest.
Think about the three-point shooting. They done held Boston 31% and OKC to 29% in the last two games as far as shooting.
We also had then that if DeAndre Jordan came to the Cavs, you know he's not on offense, he's not leaving more than 5 feet from the basket.
Right.
But someone with Nance, he'll move around, he'll set screens. I mean, Jordan does that too, but as far as him having any impact offensively, it just wasn't going to happen.
Right.
And the reason why, like, Shumpert wasn't
wanted.
He wasn't wanted. But because the Clippers wanted a third team to take Shumpert's contract.
Nobody wanted it.
And they would get back, and they wanted a big man back. Right. And they would send DeAndre Jordan to Cleveland, but they couldn't get a third team. They knew that clearly, that there wasn't going to be a third team that's going to take that contract and give them a big.
Right. That's bad.
Before you move on, about Utah? What do you think now with adding Crowder to that situation? Gives them a defender. They won like eight games in a row out there.
Mm-hmm.
They've turned the franchise over to the young guy. He's blossoming. You know, now they're pushing him towards being the rookie of the year. Do you see them ascending and coming up to about the third or fourth seed? Let's just say, being a roadblock for somebody. Giving somebody a series in the playoffs.
They could be surprisingly good. I think with Crowder, and Crowder is used to a system, as you can probably see. And this system works out for him. They're more blue collar than anything. I do see them playing tough. They just don't have the names that all the other Western teams have, but surprisingly tough, a tough out. You know, so I think that they could just be a tough out, but I don't think that they could ascend to winning the playoff game against Houston or San Antonio or nothing like that. I just think they'll just be a tough out.
Right now they're 10th. So if they get to the 8th seed, they're playing the Warriors. They're getting swept.
Right.
If they get to 7 somehow and play Houston,
they go get swept.
They're getting swept. So they're 2.5 back actually of the 5th spot. But they would have to
2.5 back?
They're 2.5 back of the 5th spot. And 2 back of the
play 4, right?
That would be Minnesota right now. Minnesota's number 4. OKC's number 5.
Well, they'll be OKC will kill them. But
you think so?
Yeah.
They just shoot a lot of shots, man. That if the shot's not going in, they struggle, man. Cause they have, I watched them play and they have no sense of an offensive structure. It's the only person that's gonna give it up to Steven Adams is Westbrook.
Yeah.
And Steven Adams is a horse. But they don't get him enough to work off of him. And Melo a sequence last night. Russ came down, shot a 3, missed. PG came down, shot a 3, and missed. And Melo came down, shot a 3, and missed. None of them passed the ball. They just shot 3s and missed.
Yeah.
All in succession.
OKC for you.
So.
But I do think either way, Utah will be a tough out. I think they kind of caught into that situation that you never like to be in.
Right.
Good enough to make the playoffs, but not bad enough to even
at
get
at least they got
me.
A show to watch.
Yeah, they got a show.
See, that's you got a show to watch.
Yeah, you got a show. Are the Celtics regretting that they didn't get Tyreke Evans to help the bench?
I think it showed that they need a third score. They need a third score bad. When Horford and
Kyrie
are on the floor, I think they average like 105, 108, something like that, which is not bad as far as scoring. But if those two are off the floor for any periods of time, they have trouble scoring the ball. And Rozier has turned up and become, you know, a pretty good player for them. Tatum's still young, still finding himself. You can see in the beginning of the year, he was on fire.
Yeah, rookie wall.
Right, and he's kind of regret. I think the the All-Star break will probably do him some good. He'll get some rest, but he'll be playing the rookie game, but that'll probably all he'll be doing.
Right.
We'll see how that stretch run goes, but I just don't think they have that third score that's really going to allow them to move and really be a factor in the playoffs. I think they lost a lot of ground to Cleveland. I think they had Cleveland's number if Cleveland stayed constituted the way they were. But with them revamping and doing, I think they kind of got a leg up. So now it's Toronto and Cleveland, I think. I still want to see Milwaukee do some other things, but I don't think they can do it either.
Cleveland is still 5 games back of the second seed. So they have some ground to make up. Like, it's only been 2 games with this new look. I do kind of want to see Boston get back up to the first seed because I think Boston can still beat Cleveland in a 7-game series. But if it's in the second round, the Eastern Conference Finals won't be worth watching at all.
Yeah, wow. I agree. I think they didn't get this. They need some bench scoring to help Rozier. When Horford and Kyrie is off the floor, Rozier, they need a wing that could give them points.
He broke his leg. If he hadn't broken his leg,
he could be back right at the end of the season.
You think that I would be afraid to play him. It's too much of the future tied up in him.
Yeah,
I'd be afraid to play him.
Yeah, that's
Paul George came back. We said he shouldn't have come back early. Remember?
Yeah.
He broke his leg in half.
Yeah. Saturday.
And came back at the end of a year. So, I mean, it's possible.
All right, one more before we move to break. Facebook Live, y'all chime in as well. Make sure you follow us on social media at SRT Radio. And make sure you go to our YouTube page and subscribe. SRT Sports Talk Radio. Please go there and subscribe to the YouTube page. How does Joe Johnson help Houston?
I think he helps because he's already familiar with what D'Antoni does.
Mm-hmm.
He'll fit right into the system because he knows just go shoot threes. And that's what he does. I mean, he also gives you that player at the end of the game. if Joe can do one thing, he can close the game.
He can close the game.
So he gives you, he's bigger than you think he is. He's not as active as he used to be. But you're talking about somebody that's a legit 6'8", 6'9".
Yeah.
And probably about 260, 270. He's a big boy.
Yeah.
So he gives you now enough size to get that key rebound, come in and give you some good minutes. He's not looking to be the star of the team, but he adds that depth for that playoff run.
He goes back to being what he was in Phoenix when Steve Kerr was running the point. D'Antoni.
That's D'Antoni.
Nash. And he, Nash. Oh, Nash. Yeah, what did I say? Steve Kerr?
Kerr.
Yeah,
Kerr
was the GM, I think.
Yeah, my bad. I had Kerr on my mind. But Nash, and he was that third scorer, and he got paid pretty handsomely for a long time based off of
what he did in
Phoenix. Yeah. So now I'm looking at Houston like, y'all just...
Yeah,
y'all setting the bar.
They setting it up.
They setting the bar, you know, so it's like, second,
and see,
third,
that's the thing that, the thing that they did that I kind of like didn't pay attention to a lot. They added a lot of scoring, but if you look closely, you can see some defensive players that can get up in you. Luke Mbappe, whatever his name is.
Gerald Green
can come out and defend a little bit. Then you got Trevor Ariza.
Yeah.
Who'll get out and get into
PJ Tucker, too.
Yeah, PJ Tucker.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. He got some dogs to go along with all the scoring he got because they just want to play defense at certain times.
Right.
Not for the whole game, but when he wants to go out and lock, he got some guys that can go out and put some pressure. So we'll see. I think if you got to try to score with them, but if they can defend just enough, they can be a problem.
I know that's right. All right, man, we got to go ahead and take this first hour of the show and make it a close, and we're about to jump into the second hour of the show, man. Thanks for tuning in to Sports Roundtable, man. Hopefully my main man, Deshaun Tate, will be coming in pretty soon. But you listen to Sports Roundtable, srtradio.com, only on 1100, The Real, 1100 AM.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM. Basketball season is already underway, and even though you're playing, you want to take your game to the next level. That's where the Bo Bell Basketball Academy comes in. For boys and girls ages 6 and up, Atlanta's own Bo Bell has played and coached basketball all around the world and is here to share his philosophies to help any player maximize their potential. Visit CoachBoBell.com for details about upcoming camps or call 770-912-4104 for more information. Bo Bell Basketball Academy. Maximize your true potential.
Hi, my name is James Forrest. When I get my sports fix, I listen to the Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew in the Real 1100 and SRTRadio.com.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Sports Roundtable.
Lamar Jackson moving position. Why is that even a question?
Because he's black. I mean, let's just be real. I mean, just keep it 100. Where'd you hear that?
Pronosticators during the draft, and you know who they are.
Yeah. Look, man, it's to me, that would be the only reason.
They won't say that, though.
Well, that's a good thing we can see it on the inside, too.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
Uh-oh, Breezy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
SRT crew.
Whoa.
SRT. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. HO got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll type forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable back at you. Cranking it up. Second hour of the show. Thanks for tuning in to the first hour of the show. Great first hour. We talked about NBA trades. Hancock say he's surprised what LeBron has been able to do with the youngins. Call them youngins.
Yeah.
And but he also said pump the brakes. Still got to see just a tad bit more. I did not know that there was that many games out of first, though. Oh, out of the second seed. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you keep losing. That's what happens.
Oh, boy. Also, LeVar Ball was back in the news, and Hancock. Did you didn't throw him under the bus, did you?
Nah, but I did see what time they're leaving. See what time the bus leaving, because, man, he's tearing up these careers, man.
Yeah, it's no way that you just keep continuously just. I don't know.
I think he, you know, like I said, I don't think this kid is just a trend, you know, a once in a lifetime basketball talent. And right. If I'm an NBA, you know, organization, I'm like, I'm not going to put up with all this, man, for this.
Right. I agree. Definitely agree.
Maybe with Shaq, you know, it'd be different. You know, back in the day, Shaq was, you know, Magic.
I agree. Also, y'all told me that Tony Gonzalez will be going in as a chief.
Yeah. I don't see any other way he should go.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with that. But the question is this, and we alluded to this, when KG goes in, is it Boston? Is it Minnesota? Because you just told me Tony Gonzalez didn't win that with the Falcons, so what's the point? Right?
Yeah, I think he's still, but with the Timberwolves organization, he probably still second or first on a whole lot of different lines.
He's the franchise leader in points, rebounds, assists, blocks, steals.
That's what I'm saying.
Answer my question, then.
I mean, and then the other thing, he would have the honor of being the first. Would he be the first Timberwolves that would go into the Hall of Fame?
So you go in as a Hall of Fame as a Timberwolves with no ring?
He can put a shamrock on his ear. He can put a shamrock on his ear, so.
Gee, when he going in as Timberwolves? Celtic?
I mean, he might go in, you know, wearing a hoodie that's somehow dangling from the back of his head instead of a jersey.
I don't know. That's a tough one, man.
It is. Something to think about.
That's a tough one. I think, he has some allegiance to that Minnesota Timberwolves organization. Now, he's big-time Celtic, too, though. Don't get me wrong. But
he's trying to buy the team, too.
Well, you're right, because I think, you know, is he mad because he has not been able to buy into Minnesota's team yet? Is he still sour from that?
I don't know, man.
That's a tough call.
That's a tough call.
Yeah, that's pretty tough.
Yeah,
that's tough. Though,
I mean, it's a lot of Celtics.
So hold on, but see, he's the one who's keeping up all. Well, oh, okay, he was tripping with Ray Allen because he left and got a ring with
Miami.
So how you think Boston would feel if you didn't go?
He got him a title, man.
How you think Boston would feel if he don't go into the Hall of Fame as a Celtic and he got a ring?
He spent how many years with the Celtics? About five years? And the rest of his career has been with Minnesota. And one layover in New Jersey, in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
He pretty much is a Timberwolf, man.
Oh, he played 12 years for the Timberwolves.
That's a long time.
He won an MVP there.
Right.
And you ain't got to stay in his agent.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of leaning Timberwolf.
Are you?
Yeah.
So you go sign the Clover League.
Hey, look, man, he put the shamrock on his ear. Like I said, he brought him a title, man. They had a he won a title there.
Wow.
He didn't win one with Minnesota, though. That's true.
That's tough.
They paid him a lot of money, though.
Yeah.
They did pay him a lot of money.
Started there and finished there, right?
Yeah. So we're gonna let the Facebook Live people.
Facebook Live, which one?
Does KG go in as a Celtic? We talking about the Hall of Fame. Or does he go in as a Timberwolf? Y'all let me know. Please. But besides that, HO, Sports Superhero, D Will done call back in yet? Not yet. Alright, D Will. Waiting on you to call back in because right now, it's time to get into our second Book Too Big.
Y'all got it going over there.
I know, man. It is now time for us to get into our second hour of our roundtable discussion.
The roundtable discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Roundtable discussion sponsored by Bo Bell Basketball.
What up, Bo Bell?
If you're looking for some basketball training, if you're a youngster, I don't care how old you are, 3, 4, 5, 6, Bo Bell got you. Please go to CoachBoBell.com. Check out all the services that he will provide, and I can verify that you will get better because feet work is the key. Just ask my main man, Lou Williams. And with that being said, we have to. If you're checking us out on Facebook Live, you saw who walked in the studio. He's no longer a guest of this show. actually holds resonance now. If you're looking for college basketball, or when you hear college basketball, you automatically think this guy. So the introduction would be Mr. What Up Though, Mr. Sparty, Mr. College Basketball, our guy, our friend, our brother, our guy, Deshaun Tate is in studio.
What up, though?
What up, though?
What up, though?
I came in here knocking everything over, man. I'm making a bigger mess than the Michigan State Athletics Department in here, man. What's going on?
My man.
What's cracking?
Ain't that safe, man? You doing all right? Glad to have you in studio.
It's getting busy, man.
It is. Right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you... I see you got your hair cut for the long haul.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be busy for the
next 2 months.
Ain't much
to cut, but...
You're going to be busy for the next couple of months.
That's right.
All right, before we even get into this college basketball thing, Hancock said we got to ask you. Let's talk about Michigan State. Currently, what's the...
Not the bad stuff, I hope, though.
Let's talk about Michigan
okay,
State.
Okay, we can do it wherever you want to go.
I want to talk about the Michigan State and how safe and what's been going on. Because we can't get the updates like you can give it to us.
Mm-hmm.
Izzo is... He's standing strong. Mm. D'Antonio is standing strong.
Mm.
And, you know, as a former coach, I mean... I got to ride with the coaches at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of give us an update of what's going on and your thoughts on the whole Michigan State deal.
Well, I'm going to get a little deep just for a quick second.
Okay.
To be a guy that born, raised, bred, fed, everything you can name in terms of that program and being from there, it's discouraging, man. It's really embarrassing to tell you the truth. I got to a point where I was like, I wear my Sparty through and through. All day, every day, 24/7, going to sleep, waking up, going to work, going to the gas station with the house shoes on, you name it.
As you should.
That's me. And I started getting to a point where I'm like, you know what? I don't know if that's really a great idea. And so I did take one day to not wear any of it just because of regardless of what's true or what's not or whatever. It's just embarrassing, man, to be a representative of that program. And I've never gotten to that point in my life. And when you look at it from an athletic standpoint, especially with the basketball program that they're known for, you know, that's a guy, T.I., Tom Izzo, that's a guy that I grew up, man, just admiring. That's a guy that's what got me into sports, period. Into mm-hmm. college basketball. I mean, that's it. It's the program. It's Tom Izzo. And as much as everybody like to think people run clean programs everywhere, you'd be surprised as to who doesn't run the clean programs or won't be surprised, depending on how long you've been living and, you know, so on and so forth. And I'm not saying that Tom Izzo is guilty. I'm not saying he knows this, he knows that, he don't know this or that. But I think he would be in agreement to say that it is embarrassing. Outside of that, you know, I wasn't there. Good thing to say. I wasn't there to say, you know, who did what and who didn't do what. But it is embarrassing. We're about to find out exactly how much pull Tom Izzo got around that program. I think the best thing for him was to continue moving forward and saying that we're not going to talk about it at this time until all of the details come out. In some ways, I mean, I don't want to say I blame the PR, but I don't like the way his PR kind of had him set up going out there at that first reportage. I think it was after the Maryland game or something like that. And they were questioning him. I mean, that brother ain't getting no sleep, man. He got tea bags under his eyes, you know. So, but one thing you can't do as a head coach is when they asking you questions about guy, you know, players that lived under your roof
mm-hmm.
and players that that played in your program and are assistant coaches or, you know, graduate mm-hmm. assistants or whatever you want to call it. You can't afford to be talking about, I don't know, I don't remember. Those are things that you cannot afford to say. But, I mean, I think in the end, the best thing for Tom Izzo to do is take this team to a national championship, win the whole thing, get the hell out of Dodge. That's just my personal opinion. I still like to think that even if they win a title, he probably won't do that. That's just not how he's cut. Right. That's just not how he's made. And I just hope that he didn't have anything to do with any of this stuff, or nor any of the coaches.
Just knowledge of it and not doing anything about it.
Knowledge of it, knowing whatever, having a feeling about it. I mean, all of the above. You know, he's no saint. I think that it's a matter of who's getting caught. That's what it's a matter of, because this is stuff that's all going down at every institution. And I don't believe everything that folks is getting up on the witness stand and saying. However, that's not the point. And the point is that it shouldn't even be a conversation. It is a conversation. Sparty is at fault, and Izzo gonna have to eventually come out and say something. But the further and further along that this thing begins to unfold or unravel, if you will, I think that his job, as crazy as this may seem, I think his job is beginning to look much, much safer in the process. Because it's going to get to a point where, you know, they're going to start saying, well, who else knew about this? Oh, police departments knew about this. And then, you know, some of the load is going to be taken off. Oh, so judges knew about some of this stuff. And then, you know, lesser the citation down from a sexual assault to a littering charge or whatever the case may be. Those type of things start happening. I'm not saying that Tom Izzo is safe, but his job starts to look a whole lot more safer. In the end, like I said, we're going to find out a lot more about how much pull Tom Izzo really has around that campus.
Good deal. All right, D. Will is on the phone. He definitely said he wanted to holler at you, so say hello to D. Will. He's on the phone now.
Yo, D.
What up, though? What up, though?
What up, though, cuh?
Hey, that's my main man, Deshaun Tate. Hey, now, I do got a quick question for you.
Okay.
I know, like I said, I know this is a specialty, and as they know on the SRT show, college basketball is how I roll. So I got two teams I want to ask you about.
Okay.
First of all is the Rams of Rhode Island. Mm. They have been shooting up the charts here lately. They're still only ranked 16th in the country, but they are a winner of 16 in a row. They're undefeated in the A-10. They're at 14-0, and they have a really, really good roster and a good squad. And they just beat the brakes off Richmond last night, which not saying much because Richmond's down this year.
That's right.
But they just beat the brakes off Richmond, and they got a big game against St. Bonaventure, who has won 7 in a row and is second in the A-10. What do you think about the Rhode Island Rams, and do they have a chance to make a run in a tournament this year?
They definitely got a chance to make a run in the tournament. I thought their run would have came last year after they got E.C. Matthews back from an injury from the prior season. They didn't go to the Sweet 16 like I expected them to last year. I put that down in my bracket. That didn't happen. However, they did win one game. This could be the year that they end up. Sometimes it's you're a year too early, and this might be the year that I'm a year too early. I'm not sure where that St. Bonaventure game is going to be played, but they could be one of the very few teams. It's ain't St. Bonnie's. In that case, then that scares me a little bit more, because St. Bonnie's can play some ball.
Yeah.
But that scares me a little bit more. But in the end, I can't think of his first name, but last name, Terrell. Between Terrell and E.C. Matthews, they form one of the more underrated and underappreciated backcourts in college basketball. And considering the fact that they have the experience to go with it, they can make a deep run. But in the end, yeah, can they do it? Absolutely, they can do it as far as making a run. I think Elite Eight is a little bit too far-fetched, but Sweet 16, I don't see why not.
Oh, awesome. Now, I agree with you on that, because I really believe this year that it's going to be a team with so much, you know, I'm putting air quotes around this, parity in college basketball right now, and it not being one dominant standout team. And I know Big H O probably dropping his head because his Dukie was supposed to be that team this year. But I understand that they can make a run. The second team I wanted to ask you about, though, and we just watched them last night on national TV against one of the hottest player in college basketball, and Trae Young, and that's the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Texas Tech, and especially that point guard that they had that dropped 26 last night? What do you think about them? They're ranked number 7 in the country right now, and it's probably going to even go up even more after that win last night. Do you think that's a team that can make some noise coming out of the Big 12 in the tournament? Or are they fool's gold, as we've seen out of other Big 12 teams in the past?
I like Keenan Evans, but Texas Tech is fool's gold. They're right in that same conversation with a lot of the – you know, everybody's talking about how strong of a conference that the Big 12 is, and they're the strongest in the country. And in a lot of ways, I agree with that. However, we're going to find out just how strong you are when March rolls around. They're talking about getting 8 teams in.
Right.
I highly doubt that more than 2 teams, I might stretch it to 3 teams, will last outside of the first weekend. And that's just, I mean, some of these teams might not even make it. TCU is a really, really good team. They lose out on Jalen Fisher. However, they might not make it. They're on the bubble. We don't know what Okie State is going to do just yet. Oklahoma's now turning to being on the bubble at this point. And I still think that Kansas is going to win their conference and break John Wooden's record at UCLA and make it 14 consecutive regular season championships until somebody show me otherwise. And you got to remember, I know we're talking about TCU, but you got to remember, there's been a lot of good teams. I mean, we're talking about almost 15 years. 15 years is a long time for somebody to go unbeaten in terms of not winning their conference. I mean, there's been some really good teams. Buddy Hield's Oklahoma team was really good. Blake Griffin's Oklahoma team was really good. Marcus Smart's Oklahoma State team was really good. Yep. West Virginia has had some Final Four teams mixed up in there as well. But in the end, I think it's Kansas. Texas Tech, I think, is fool's gold, man. I'm going to be honest with you. If there's a team that can knock out Kansas from keeping that streak going, it won't be Texas Tech. It'll probably be West Virginia. That probably just goes to show you exactly how much belief I have in Texas Tech.
There it is.
Yeah, okay. So
what conference
do you have? Speaking of West Virginia, what makes you – because we've seen them on the roller coaster ride this year also, where they hadn't looked like the team that they were projected to be. They were ranked very high. I think they got all the way up to number 2, if I'm not mistaken, at one point during the year, and then they fell off. Do you think it's the pressure that West Virginia brings or with the experience that they got in that backcourt?
I mean, I like West Virginia because they can play defense and they score a whole lot more than people give them credit for. Everybody talk about their defense, but they score a lot better than a Virginia team, in my personal opinion. But just how well coached they are, I like what they can bring to the table. They're very experienced. When you're talking about making deep runs and stretches late in March, you got to have 2 things. You got to have experienced players. Forget about the talent. You can throw that out the window. This is college. You have to have a combination of experienced players and a proven coach. And they have 2 of those things. Now, the things that I don't care for so much is that some of the guys they rely upon off the bench, that is exactly why I like them, don't always show up. And when they do, you see a totally different West Virginia team. It all comes down to which West Virginia team that they're going to put out there on the floor. And it's hard to say at this point, but if there's a Final Four team that I think, or if there's a team that can make it to the Final Four that nobody's paying attention to, on the outside looking in, I think that team, one of the very, very few, less than a handful of teams, is West Virginia.
There it is. Deshaun Tate is in the building, baby. Yes, sir. All right. Me and Han talked about this earlier.
Mm.
And I'm pretty sure D. Will is going to be listening in closely on this one. Has the one and done hurt college basketball?
I think it's hurt college basketball for sure. I also think that it's helped college basketball in some way.
Okay. Now, in my opinion, the way that I look at it, and the Hancock probably go expound on that before we get back to you, but it looks like it has turned into an AAU of college basketball. You're building the players are more interested in building a brand to get to the NBA than building a program based on the packages that goes to different schools,
mm-hmm.
How you're handcuffed and not able to develop the program because you have all freshmen,
mm-hmm.
and then once they leave, you got to bring in another group of guys, mm-hmm. and things of that nature. So it looks like everybody is fast tracking to the NBA, and just like the AAU, everybody is kind of like the let me package this group, or this player, and we go run the table and things of that nature. So, Han, you can go ahead and expound on how you feel.
Well, I want to hear what he has to say on that. I'll just step back and listen.
I think that I mean, college basketball ain't the only ones that's doing it. You got a lot of grown A men in the NBA right now that all want to play with each other, too. So I don't think it's just college basketball.
Right.
They're getting that from somewhere. However, I think it's helping college basketball for the simple fact that you have a lot of those guys that are one and done. They all typically go to a lot of the same schools. So where you have other guys that are going to other schools to make them competitive, it makes the I can't think of the word that I'm a parity.
Landscape,
I guess the parity a little bit. It's providing a little bit more parity in the game to where guys want to go other places and create and put their own personal stamp on a program.
I can see
and
that.
I think that's where we see that happening with certain guys. And I mean, there's going to be struggles with programs. I mean, I'm seeing coaches struggles with trying to do the one and done thing. Some guys are, you know, some coaches are benefiting. Some coaches are struggling. Some coaches got to struggle a little bit before they can benefit. This is something new to Coach K as well.
Right.
This isn't something that he's known for. He's starting to feel a little bit of the heat that Calipari was feeling. Like, you can't bring all this talent in here and then not win the whole thing. That can't be a case. So from that standpoint, I think it's going to get some people to watch the same way that you see LeBron get a whole bunch of his buddies and play. And the reality is, and LeBron's not the only one, but the reality is when that happens, a lot of people want to see how they can coexist. Kevin Durant, same thing. People gravitate towards wanting to see that all-star lineup, if you were a superstar lineup, and then see some of the other teams that can knock them off. So I think that's the good, but the bad of it is the elephant in the room. It's not making the NBA game any better. You can't rely on these guys. Like, the NBA draft is structured. Let's not forget, the NBA draft is structured for you to be able to draft players to a team that can come in and help right away. That's gone completely out of the window. Guys having to wait 3, 4, 5 years. God forbid you get sent down to that overpopulated G League where you can fall to the bottom and never see your way back up to the top.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that it's a give and take. It just depends on the player, and sometimes you have to embrace this part of it. I know it's hard. It's difficult. I get it. But that's just what it is right now, and you just have to embrace a new era of basketball and the way that these kids think and the way that these programs is doing things. The extent that a lot of these programs will go just to get these kids, all of this stuff seems very intriguing to me, if not nothing else. Kind of ruining the game, but at the end of the day, I love the game so much, so one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to continue to watch.
I hand you.
But that's good. I mean, he said a lot there, and it's what I've been saying the whole time. The product sucks right now. I mean, you have certain programs you look at. I've watched a lot of college basketball this year. And I was interested because you said the Big 12 conference doesn't impress you. Which conference in the land that you've watched impresses you more than the Big 12?
I don't think that there's one that necessarily impresses me. I do like what the Big East has been doing.
Mm-hmm.
The Big East has come a long way, especially from falling from the graces of the old Big East.
The real Big East.
The real Big East. But I do like the Big East. I do like the Big East a lot more. And don't get me wrong. Big 12 is probably the most competitive. However, I'm not sure, because I hear a lot of people saying, well, the Big 12, everybody's just kind of beating up on everybody. Yeah, but does that kind of also show that those teams are just that weak by allowing other teams to beat up on them after they just beat up on another team? Like, there doesn't seem to really be a superior team.
Yeah.
And if the team that's at the top of that conference, which is the Texas Tech Red Raiders, then that's one reason why I'm not a believer in the conference all in its own.
Well, they could actually lose the next game that they play. They go into Baylor, so they could lose that one. I've seen Baylor play.
That?
But I think that's prevalent throughout the whole top 25 this year. I've seen the number one teams fall when people say, well, they shouldn't fall to this team.
And that's why I love it, because you don't know. There's no clear cut this year. That's why I encourage people to embrace it. By the way, the ACC probably, I mean, it's so hard to say. Well, the ACC is not having the season that it, you know, the type of teams, quality of teams that it usually has. But ACC shows its face right when you don't expect it, just to show that they are the superior basketball conference in the end. So just because the Big 12, one good year, okay, I get it. But I have to see, to me, in the end, to tell me exactly who the best conference is, I got to see how those teams that make it into the NCAA tournament fare in the tournament before I can go on and say that somebody has the best.
Well, I just think Durant came due on leagues like the ACC because they could hang their hats on programs that would establish players from year to year. And I don't think that's happening now. So I think what's happening, it leveled the playing field across the board. So I think, like we said, on any given night, you know, you can go into Alabama and get a run. You can go into Texas somewhere and get run. You can go in, maybe out west to Arizona if they're playing a good night. They might play you well and play a good game. But the whole thing, kind of like what you touched on with the NBA, saying that these kids are not going to help. And that's why we were talking about in the draft. I would package my picks to get the next Oladipo rather than hang my hat on one of these kids coming in that's going to take 2 years to develop. Because what's happening now, once they're in the NBA and they're playing a little bit, they kind of, it's like being in college. Yep. And they kind of ascend to a level to where now they're ready after 2-3 years. And you can build a team with first round picks because people get off of them.
I'm with you on that, but this ain't the draft that you want to do that in.
I feel you.
This is the draft that you want to take your pick.
Top. Well,
as long as it's not, I'm gonna sure I'm sure I put it on record. No, there's more than that. Okay, that's just I see that little list.
No, I got the list.
I got you.
Tell me, because I watched a lot this year.
Okay,
and I'm not sold on Aiden. I think he's 2 years away from being a solid pro, and he has to get with the right program. DeAndre Aiden, Marvin Bagley, to me probably gonna play next year and be effective, but I don't know what he is because he's not a true big man. He's not Kevin Durant. He's not. Is he Giannis? Is he? I mean, when I watch him play, he can control a college game from the paint. I've seen that. But is he going to be able to step out and face up?
You asking me?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because when I'm watching him, I don't see it yet.
I see
Michael Porter Jr. hadn't played this year, right?
Correct.
Luka Doncic, we don't know what he is.
Correct.
Trae Young. Can shoot from way out.
Anywhere.
But anywhere he's, when they play physical on him, which I've seen this year, he struggled. Anytime they putting that weight on him,
sure,
he's had a hard time.
Yeah.
Jaren Jackson, to me, right now, is the one I'm looking at and I'm saying that might be Giannis right there. Because his activity, the way he can run up and down the court, he can defend. He's long, athletic, doesn't shoot the ball like, you know, like a big, like the big time shooters we want, but
like
he can score. Right. So that's what I'm seeing in him. Wendell Carter, I like him.
Still on the draft.
I think he's going to be a good one. Colin Sexton, I don't know what he is. I watch him play, but he doesn't, you know, he and Trayvon the ball. I mean, I'm watching these guys and I'm like, okay, Gary Trent Jr., I like him.
Okay.
I like him. I must say, I do like him. But, man, I went down the list. I'm looking at Hamadou Diallo. They got him listed as going. And I'm like,
the other dude from Kentucky,
Mo Bamba and all
that.
These kids, they gonna be, they might be good in 2 or 3 years. But I'm not going, if I'm a GM, I'm trading back and waiting till somebody else get off of him. I get him next year from them.
next year's draft ain't going to be this draft. My bad.
I'm not saying the draft. What I'm saying is these kids, once they're in the league 2 or 3 years, then they'll be ready to play. So that's what I'm saying about if I'm going to lose with them, I might as well go out and get a big time, a nice free agent to play and just wait to get him when they get up off of him. Just like Oladipo sat, and now he's one of the best players in the league.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's a franchise player now. But coming out of college, he didn't really do much for Orlando. And he went there with Russ and just watched Russ play. Right?
It's a combination to get to the right system as well.
So I just think, to me, the one and done has to stop. They just have to, might as well let the kids come on out and play. Just come on out. And I think they're moving toward that. Because this is
2019,
this is nothing.
Right? Something like that, you think?
For the what?
One and done.
For when they're going to end it?
Yeah.
Probably. I don't have an insight on it. But if I would be doing anything, it would just be taking a guess. I don't know. 19, right. 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, go ahead and respond.
You
go
respond. Let me ask you this before you go.
Sure, go ahead.
Tell me your next Donovan Mitchell for next. Who we sleeping on that's going to go to the league and be that next Donovan Mitchell?
Pass the list.
There you go.
We gonna do this right here, right now.
D. Will say the SEC the deepest.
With Bama, Auburn,
yeah,
Tennessee,
Kentucky, Florida.
Kentucky suspect, man. Florida, they went and lost at Georgia, man. So, like I said, it happens.
It's tough to say in terms of the next Donovan Mitchell. I don't know if you're speaking on in terms of his impact or if you're speaking on in terms of by position.
Just a player that we like. Where did he come from? Not that he doesn't have to be like him, but
like
I'm
likely
saying,
the biggest steal of the draft,
right,
type, maybe?
Exactly. Like some people that okay, passed on him fair, and said, man, oh, I should have took him.
Brandon McCoy.
McCoy?
UNLV. UNLV.
Okay.
That's the kid. If I had to say. One that's flying under the radar, not a lot of people are paying attention to, probably won't pay attention to until the tournament, if they even make the tournament. But you probably won't know it until we start going through combines and summer leagues and so on and so forth. Let's just put this out here on wax right now. If I got the number one pick, there's no question who I'm taking. Bad. I got to take the Bagman. Yeah. That's 10-time NBA All-Star right there. I hear a lot of comparisons to Chris Bosh. I think it's spot on. Same thing we was talking about Trae Young. We hear a lot of comparisons between Trae Young and Stephen Curry. He just looks like Stephen Curry.
Yes.
He looks just like him. Like, and people tend, this is what I don't like, people tend to confuse, like, I'm not comparing Trae, it's unfair for us to compare Trae Young at 19 to Stephen Curry at 30 or whatever he is, okay? When we're comparing Trae Young to Stephen Curry, you got to compare Trae Young at 19 to Stephen Curry at 19.
Exactly.
And he's doing things that we haven't seen anybody else do, not just Stephen Curry. And mind you, people can riff-raff, talk all this nonsense about turnovers and everything else if they want to. You have to remember, Trae Young is not out there playing the starting point guard of Duke, Kentucky, Kansas players around him. He's playing with guys that none of them are five-star players. None of them are going to see an NBA floor. You have to remember these things. And you're able to lead the nation in assists? I think that says something. Before we start talking about what they're going to be at the next level, and I think that's fair, we can get into that type of stuff, but let's first try and enjoy what we're seeing, because sometimes we don't enjoy the product that's out there on the college basketball floor right now, because we automatically want to talk about, oh, okay, this kid's pretty good, and everybody's talking about him. What's he going to be at the next level? And I think that's something that's very unfair. DeAndre,
the problem with that is, though, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but the problem is that you have to talk about the next level because he's gone after
right,
1 year.
Right, right, right.
So that's the key. Now, one thing you said that I disagree with, we saw it in college in Mahmoud, Chris Jackson.
Okay.
Chris Jackson was Trae Young.
But he didn't lead the nation in assists either.
No, he did. He mostly scored. Now, you're right on that because, Trae does. That's what I like about Trae, though.
He gets people involved.
The vision, yes. The court vision. If he was 6'3", 6'4", you wouldn't be able to touch it.
And he got to take them shots in order for his team to win, too.
Yeah, that's true.
And when you a little guy and they throw in these long wings and all this other stuff and so many different guys at you, you got to get them folks up off of you. And if you have the range to be able to shoot from anywhere, I'd like to think we'll all be shooting from anywhere, too, especially with a green light.
Well, I'm a fan now. Don't get me wrong. I'm a fan of Trae Young. I just think he has to get stronger.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Let me ask you about this
sure.
player that nobody is talking about.
Uh-huh.
Jerome Robinson, Boston College.
Okay.
6'6", point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't many people talking about this kid? Is it Boston College?
I don't. Well, that's part of the reason, obviously. but one thing that I think he lacks, because he plays extremely hard and he is talented, but I don't think that he is. I don't think that he can compete consistently, in which he won't necessarily have to, because he's going to start out riding the oak at the next level. But I don't think he's the athlete that the NBA is looking for.
Well, and I'm not talking about NBA per se. I'm just talking about just in the college game, because I'm
oh, it's
you.
Definitely Boston College.
Let's enjoy the product.
Sure.
And Boston College hadn't had a whole lot to even root for in a long time.
Correct.
And Jerome Robinson is maybe Virginia is getting all the pub in the ACC. Mm-hmm. North Carolina is kind of turning around. Everybody keep talking about Marvin Bagley. Mm-hmm. Clemson is coming up. Mm-hmm. So no one in Florida State continues to be in and out of conversation, but no one talks about Boston College and what this kid is doing. Mm-hmm. He's second in ACC in scoring. Mm-hmm. So enjoying this product, this is a name that people may not even know. I can guarantee you people are looking him up now as I mention his name. You know what I'm saying? So your thoughts on him playing college?
Well, I think he's a really good college basketball player. I don't think he's great. I think he's slightly above average in terms of when you're putting him up against everybody.
Right.
You know? And there's going to be some guys that's going to serve him some work, and there's going to be some guys that he going to serve some work too. But in the end, I'm a firm believer of the fact that it's because it is Boston College.
Right.
And in order for Boston College to be a little bit of everything, there has to be one guy on every team for any team to get anything.
Right.
And he just happens to be the guy that's on that team. And that's not me knocking his game or knocking his hustle or anything like that. But I just think that that's just who Jerome Robinson is.
Right.
I think he's a really – I think he's a good, above-average college basketball player. And if I'm proven wrong – I'm okay with that. Just show me.
Right. Before I get to D. Will, he got one more question before we go. I got to throw this question out for you.
No doubt.
We're talking about classes. Just college only. This class that came in this year with the Trae Young, Marvin Bagley, Wendell Carter. And then next year we got the Zion and the.
This is the class.
So if you had to compare the classes,
this is the class.
This is it.
This is the class. Look how deep this thing is. And
call them out. The ones you really, really feel are.
Oh, Ayton, Bagley, Young, Jackson, Bamba, Carter, Sexton, Knox, Bridges, Trent.
Lonnie Walker?
Flip. Lonnie Walker's not bad. We should have been talking about Trayvon Duval at this point. Yeah, that name should have been brought up. But when you're shooting 20-something percent from three and 60% from the free throw line, and both of those is the lowest on that roster, and you're an elite point guard at Duke, say less.
Yeah, I got to give D-Will his props on that one because he said he can't shoot.
I really do like Austin Wiley from Auburn. The kid is a monster. I really do like him. Oh, Mo Wagner from Michigan. I mean, the kid can play.
Yeah.
I was telling somebody, if you never watched him, you're talking about a European kid. You're talking about Luka Doncic and all this kind of nonsense. Scratch that. I'm not a believer in that. I'm not a Luka Doncic guy. I don't know what I'm getting. We talked about guys you don't know what you're going to get. And we're just talking about making player comparisons. Let me tell you something real quick, and I just want to go through this as fast as I possibly can because I know you were talking about it earlier. I want to make sure I get through it. DeAndre Ayton is a guy that is such a physical specimen. He looks like he is the most the part for an NBA level.
Yeah, we talk.
When you talk about a guy that's 7 feet or 7'1", you get so many of the – think about it. Today's era, you get a lot of soft guys, a lot of soft bigs that get the ball, turn around, and maybe want to lay it up or jump hook it and get their shot swatted to the popcorn stands by a guy that's maybe physically built a little bigger than them but is much, much smaller than them. You don't have that issue with Ayton. Ayton is going to turn it around. He's going to dunk it on you. He's just physical. You don't have to beg him. You don't need to call him over there in the huddle and yank on his uniform. You don't have to do none of that. He's going to do it right off the rip. We don't know what Michael Porter Jr. is, and the best thing for him to do is to not play college basketball this year. Let them figure out your weaknesses at the next level. Get your money first. Jaren Jackson looks like he looks like Marcus Camby to me.
That's
who Jaren Jackson looks like. Jaren Jackson from Michigan State runs the floor like a deer. Swat shots, can score the ball, shoot it from the outside, pretty darn good. Look up his 3-point percentage. Miles Bridges is a little bit more. Sometimes he's a little bit too passive. This dude should be LeBron James in college right now. Look at his body. Look at his physique. He can shoot the ball from the outside, which I think he relies upon a little bit too much sometimes. Gary Trent Jr., he can shoot the rock. I mean, Mitchell Robinson, we haven't seen him either, but he came in top 10 in the country.
Yeah,
Colin Sexton reminds me of I'm going to tell you who Sexton reminds me of, and I love Sexton because he embraces defense. You don't have to beg him to play defense. He doesn't want you to score on him on the other end. Colin Sexton, and this may be a good or a bad thing considering he doesn't necessarily make players around him better, but he reminds me of Damian Lillard. That's who he reminds me of. He's a go-get mine, combo guard, score first. I'm going to light it up. We might not win a ton of games. I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama doesn't get to the tournament.
Does he shoot it that well? Every time I watch him,
he doesn't necessarily look like he shoots. But then again, it's a systematic thing, too. I don't think that Avery Bradley's a good coach. If he let the lead, you can see with Colin Sexton's game where he's restricted a little bit sometimes. If you just let that boy off the leash, it might not even be Trey Young we're talking about. It would be Colin Sexton.
All right, D-Will, your last question before we go to break real quick.
And that's great. I'm glad we were talking about Colin Sexton and Alabama, because my question was along the lines of the SEC. And before I ask the question, y'all got to understand and realize Hancock don't like anybody that plays in college.
I told you I like Jaren Jackson.
College basketball, he can like you, okay? He don't wait till you get to the next level before he looks at you. But along the lines of the SEC, I believe the SEC is the deepest conference in the country this year. Y'all talk a lot about the Big 12. Y'all talk a lot about the ACC. But the SEC is the team. They're going to get maybe 8, maybe 9 teams into the NCAA tournament. And the reason I believe a lot of people aren't talking about the SEC this year is because Kentucky is so down. Especially if they lose tonight, they're going to be on a free fall. I think it's going to be the first time the Cows ever lost 4 games in a row. Are we overlooking the SEC as a whole, as a basketball conference, or is this too much stock being put into them?
All right, D-Will, he go answer that. We're going to take a real quick 1 minute break, and we're going to come back. Keep it locked. He going to answer that on the back end, because we got to get ready to get out of here. So hang tight for me real quick, and we'll be right back. Listen to SRT Radio, Sports Radio, SRTRadio.com.
Keep those ears locked to Sports Roundtable on The Real 1100 AM.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
What's up? My name is Marquise Kiki Hicks, assistant men's basketball coach at Point University. When I get my sports fix, I listen to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on AM 1100 and SRTRadio.com.
Sports Roundtable back at you. D-Will just posed a question to my main man. Deshaun, take, go ahead and take it over.
SEC, just looking at some of these teams. I mean, Auburn, Auburn's a first weekend team. They'll be out. I'm not a believer in Florida. Georgia's not going to make it. Fire your coach. Kentucky, they haven't had an identity all season. LSU, they won't make it. Mississippi State has improved, but they're not good enough. Missouri is one of the teams that intrigue me the most, because I don't know how they've been winning all these games without Michael Porter Jr., to tell you the truth. I mean, from the beginning of the season, I was like, all right, this is about to stop real soon. And that has been happening ever since November. They still won't make it. Ole Miss, they stink. South Carolina, they're not going to get back. They lost too much. Tennessee is probably the most impressive team in this entire conference that's not named the Auburn Tigers, in my personal opinion.
Mississippi State?
No, Tennessee.
He said no, Tennessee.
Tennessee. Yeah. Them other ones, I mean, they don't. Some of them stink. Some of them don't. They're okay. But I think the one thing you have to come away with more than anything that you have to give credit to, because everybody thinks so much football when you think about the SEC, you got to give credit to the basketball schools because of the fact that, this basketball season, because of the fact that it is very much improved. Although a lot of those teams really aren't that good, a lot of those teams improved. It was just last year that South Carolina started it all by going to the Final Four. Tennessee start cranking it up, even though I'm not a believer in Rick Barnes. Texas A&M is one of the most disappointing teams in the country this year. They started out ranked in the top 10. Vanderbilt. They're not going anywhere. They're waiting on a recruiting class coming up. The only teams worth talking about here realistically, I mean, Florida's okay, I guess. I mean, they're mediocre, but they're not getting back. It's really Auburn and Tennessee, two football schools that you can't rely upon. They're going to end up showing their true colors, in my own personal opinion, just like the Big 12 when it comes down to the big dance.
There it is. Hey, D-Will, go ahead and give your shout-outs real quick because we got to get ready to bust a move.
Man, shout out to y'all, man. Shout out to Deshaun Tate, man. And y'all already know, man. Go to realtalktees.bigcartel.com. And happy Valentine's Day to everybody. I don't care what they say.
Hey, man. Appreciate it, man.
All right, Weez.
We'll holler at you next week, bro.
All right, bro.
61, 56, 4 minutes, 58 seconds left. Providence is up on Villanova. Before we give our shout out, I do want to ask you about St. John.
Mm-hmm.
And what turned them around?
Besides Shamori Pons, who I think is probably another one of the guys who was talking about if he enters the draft, I mean, you don't know, but it's not going to look good. But I threw three teams out there to begin the season. I said it's going to surprise this for some people. I got to bite my tongue a little bit on Minnesota. That's fine. But coming into the year, there was a reason to believe in Minnesota. But for other reasons, that's fine. I'll take that one. But the other two was St. John's and Seton Hall.
How about Cincinnati?
No.
No?
No. Not believe it. Until you show me. Now, if you show me, that's something different. Sweet 16, fine. Elite 8, then I'm starting to become impressed. Okay. But you're supposed to be doing this if you're Cincinnati. You're Cincinnati. It's time for these teams to start coming back around, just like we're talking about with St. John's. But what I think happened with St. John's and how they turned it all around was St. John's started believing in St. John's. They started believing that they can actually do something that they haven't been showing that they've been doing. And it comes time when it's crunch time and in the clutch against the best teams, and they showed up against the best teams in Duke and Villanova, and now the confidence is rolling high. Who knows how high they may go or how far they may go, although I'm still not a believer from a coaching standpoint in Chris Mullin. So.
All right. Well, you hear the music, Deshaun. Appreciate you stopping by, man.
No doubt,
as always,
man.
Go ahead and give you a shout out.
No, man. Just want to shout out everybody, Instagram, everybody that Facebook, everybody's been following, whoever's been praying for me. I appreciate that because somebody definitely been doing it. Shout out to SRT, man, Greg. I mean, just the whole crew. I don't like to, you know me, I'm not a single out on Valentine's type dude unless it's one person until I got a ring on my finger, man. That's my mama, the only one that been down for 33 calendars and never left my side. So that's not a shot at nobody, but I gotta show mama some love, man. That's my true Valentine. And follow at Tate's Take Sports, TATESTAKE Sports. If you can't spell sports, then I can't help you with that.
There you go. All right, Hank, go ahead.
Hey, shout out to my sister, Inya Hancock Griffin. Happy birthday to you, baby. Born on Valentine's Day. So I just want to send that shout out to you. And this one a little bit more somber. I lost a cousin last week. The record industry knows him as Insane Wayne, the brother of Drummer Boy. Passed away, was killed in the streets out here in Atlanta last week. Mm. So just want to send a shout out to the family, to Wayne, rest in peace. And I guess that's all I need to say on that. And happy Valentine's Day to my wife. Love you, baby.
There it is. Hey, man, shout out to Deshaun for coming in. Shout out to the crew. Shout out to Weezer for calling in. This is how we do it each and every week, man. And it's continue to follow SRT, continue to follow Sports Roundtable and the things of that nature. And, you know, Valentine's Day is not one of my days, but with my mom being gone, my godmother not being here to see what we've been doing, I got to get a shout out to my girls. So happy love day to my two girls, my mom and my godmother. And with that being said, Han, let's roll.
Boogie, I'm headed home, baby.
It's your main man, H.O. from Bankhead, R.I.P. Moms, R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't.
In honor of Black History Month and Mardi Mar, get to stepping.
Get to stepping and we out. Peace.